Use my iPad. This is something new, a new toy for me. So we'll see how we go with it. Technology, it's frightening really, but you have to be brave sometimes. Now, am I standing in the right place? Yeah? Great. Well, we're going to continue. I've been asked to continue with the theme that church has been running with for the last few months, really, praying as Paul prayed. And it's been an interesting series. Because really, a lot of people talk about prayer, and very few actually do it, I think. But we won't go down that one this morning. So, to help you understand where I am this morning, today, there we are. We're thinking of Paul as a peacemaker. Someone that was involved in helping form a relationship of peace between Philemon, the chap we're going to read about in a moment. And he had a slave, or one of many, I suppose, that actually ran away from him. And we don't know what else he did, but obviously he wasn't a very good boy. And he ran away from Philemon and found himself in Rome, where Paul was. Paul, this great apostle, this great evangelist, this great church planter. And somehow or other, they got in contact. And the wonder of wonders is that Onesimus, the runaway slave, came to know Jesus Christ as his personal savior. So that revolutionized his life. But Paul now was in a dilemma. You see, he had this guy called Onesimus that was a slave that had come to know Jesus Christ. And he had his friend, as we'll see in a moment, that we call Philemon, who had lost his slave. So what was he to do? Was he just to send Onesimus back to Philemon and say, hey mate, here's your slave again? Or what was he going to do? How was he going to help the situation? And I wonder if you and I have been in a situation where, for example, we've had some work colleagues and they've been getting on great and all of a sudden something happens. Bang. And there's animosity, there's disagreement, and it affects the whole work in ethos of the place where you are. Or perhaps you've had some friends that have just broken up a relationship because, well, there's been some bad stuff going on. Do we get involved? Did you get involved when you, perhaps if you saw that happening with your work colleagues, did you get involved or did you just say, hey man, that's not my thing, and just go away? Paul wasn't like that. He really wanted to get involved. And how does he do this? Does he sort of lord it over Philemon and say, hey mate, I've got this slave of yours, you've got to take him back? No. Paul introduces himself in a super way. And he starts and shows us the greatest secret that you and I can encounter in our Christian lives. And that is going to God in prayer and asking God to intervene. So how does he do that? Oh, God, please help me to tell him what to do. No, I don't think so. Let's read in the book of Philemon. It's a short book. I'm not going to read the whole book. Don't panic this morning. I haven't got time for that. We're just going to read the first seven verses. And this is the NIV version. Paul says this. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Can you catch the way he's saying it? Oh, to Philemon, my dear friend. No, my dear friend. Come on. To Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. What a guy to be greeting. Obviously, a church planter of some description, and I'm prejudiced on those kind of guys. It's okay. So he was really involved in the work. And then he says this, and we're going to try and unpack this phrase, really. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We could stay there, Andrew, for a few weeks on that one, but we're not going to do that this morning, okay? I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You can say amen to that, really, but I don't want to panic you. Don't panic, okay? Your love. Catch this of Paul. This is something that is incredible about the guy. He's willing to learn from everybody. And he says this, your love has given me great joy. I have refreshed the hearts of the saints your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Now, he's showing you how he starts praying and what he's praying for Philemon. And let's go through this bit by bit. If I can get this iPad to work. It goes off all the time. It shouldn't do that, should it? Should it go off all the time? Okay, he went to sleep. Yeah. Well, don't go to sleep on me, please. Okay? Okay, it says this. So what does Paul do? The first thing he does, I think, is he recognizes who he is in Christ. To be a peacemaker, you have to know who you are in Jesus. You have to know that he could have said, well, look, I'm the great apostle here and I'm a big guy and you've got to do this. But he says this to Philemon, to Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Here's a man that was willing to deny himself for others, to deny himself to serve Jesus Christ. And he's willing to give up all that he's got. In fact, he's in a prison right now. And he's going to ask Philemon to do something that probably would have blown Philemon's mind. And before you can actually try to make peace with one another, or if you're a leader of any description, you must be willing to tread the path of the person that you're asking to do, when you're asking them to do something. Okay? And this is a key thought of Paul. He'd been through different circumstances. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been beaten. He'd been mocked at or whatever. And he was willing to deny everything for God. And he's coming with this background. And it's a background of prayer, of understanding of what it's like to go through difficulties. He knew those who were involved. In chapter 2, in verse 2, sorry, he talks to Philemon and then he says, to Apphia, our sister. It doesn't work that way, sorry. He knew the people involved. He knew the family that was involved. He knew the church that was involved. And then again, he knew the importance of prayer. And so often we try in our Christian experience to do things for God without talking to God. We try doing things for God that, well, I think I'll do this or I'll try and help you. Paul shows us a basic Christian principle. And if I don't leave you with anything else this morning, I want to leave you with this. If you haven't prayed about the situation, don't attempt to try to change it. If you haven't prayed about the situation, don't attempt to get involved because it'll go pear-shaped. Because what God wants us to recognize is this, that we are thoroughly dependent on Him. Without Him, we cannot do anything that brings honor and glory to Him. It took me a long time to learn that one, but you've got that free this morning. I don't charge. It's all right. You've got that free. Don't attempt to do anything for God without praying about it first. And not just, oh God, help me here, what do I say? Oh, please. You can do it like a Nehemiah, I suppose, so that comes out okay. But make it a habit of bringing things to God in prayer before you get involved. Okay? Before you say yes to something, ask God. So we come here to verse 1 and 2. Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. And he's going to introduce us. First of all, he puts Timothy at ease. He doesn't come to him and say, oh, I better not stand on that chair. Yeah, I will do this. I'd be a bit. You can't see me on that side. I've grown. That feels good. Josh, stand up. Are you my height? No. That's a lot. I beat you. Okay. You know, he doesn't come up and say, hey, man, I'm the great apostle here. I'm the great guy that's doing this, you know. No. He comes to him as a fellow brother, as a friend, as someone that's keenly interested in him. And I think we all need that sometimes. Someone that will come up to us, that's a friend that's keenly interested in us to lift us up and to encourage us. So he puts Philemon at ease to start with. He shows that he's familiar, as I said, with the circumstances. Philemon was obviously the guy that was the householder. He was the beloved brother and fellow worker of Paul. So Paul had him in great esteem. He had a wife. We presume it was Apphia. There's no 100% guarantee on that, but from the context, it seems it is. And Archippus, his son, a fellow worker with him. He knew the people. You can't get involved with people if you don't know them. You can't try to be a peacemaker if you don't try to understand where they're coming from. And this is with Paul. He knew these guys. And he actually, too, he knew the church in the Philemon's house. So he was there. He understood. And we have to realize that when there's been a breakdown in communication, when there's been a problem of relationships, it affects others, not just the two or three people involved directly. And Paul is taking that into account here. He's including everyone, yet he's targeting Philemon, who is the head, who is the leader there. So we come then to, he says this, and these are the words that we're going to have to work out how to do this, folks. Okay. I don't think it'll work because I'll get lost, brother. I'll get lost if I'm not careful. He comes with this. Now, I must admit, there are two verses that hit me on this one, right? This is one of them. And I've read these verses so many times and verses like it in the New Testament. And it's so easy to miss it. What is Paul doing here? He's blessing this guy. He's saying to him, grace to you. You're going to be my stooge. He's saying to him, give me a fiver. Five, not a fiver. Grace, mate. God's favor upon you. I want you, Philemon now. I can have my response. Philemon, I want you to experience God's favor, his unmerited favor upon you. I want you to understand that God has got you in his hands, in his arms. I want you to understand that there is no one else like you. Well, that's fair enough, isn't it? Oh, man. You can imagine Philemon as he's receiving this letter, God's grace towards me through this great man, Paul. And it means the unmerited favor of God. And I picked up this description of grace, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. Grace, the dimension of divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference and rebellion with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. God is gracious in action. Here's the heart of God being poured out into Philemon's heart. And Paul is coming with this saying, I want you to have that. Now, how can I do that? I'm going to do this. Don't panic, okay? He's giving him a big spiritual hug. We all need spiritual hugs. Don't we? Mm-hmm. We do. And he's giving him this spiritual hug, and he's saying, come on, man. Lord, pour out your mercy upon him again. Oh, he's a man that received mercy. He was a Christian. He's a man that knew about God. But he's saying to him, I want you to have more of God. I want you to have God's blessing upon your life. I want you to be moved by God. And that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to move us by his grace so that we can say, God, you have saved me. Saved by grace alone. This is my only plea. Oh, I got an amen. Oh, careful, careful. Wow. Peace. If that's not enough, peace. It means far more than the absence of troubles, but everything that makes for man's highest good. He's saying, Philemon, I'm praying to God that you will have all that God's got for you. That you will have peace in your heart. That God will stir you till you know that you are His. He says, He's my God. And he doesn't come to God as if some of us have this tendency, as if we're going to a supermarket. Oh, we'll pick a bit of love off the shelf. I need some love, so I'll have some love. I need a new car. Oh, yeah, no, I pick a new car. Oh, God, give me a new car, whatever. No, that's not it. It's being willing to recognize that as we come to God, He's my God, and He has on His heart grace to be poured out into me, into you. He has on His heart peace for you and for me. He has for us good things in store. And He gives them out of the benefit of His love towards us. Not as if picking up from a supermarket shelf, but personally. This is our God. He's my God. Oh, amen. My family. Oh, personal intimacy. As I remember you in my prayers. If you think that Paul was going around every day, 24 hours a day, saying, Lord, help Philemon, bless Philemon, help Philemon, bless Philemon, help him, bless him, help him, bless. No, that's not it. But he had him on his heart so that he could, when God prompted him through his spirit, he would pray for him. Oh, I like it. Prayer is simple. It's actually talking to God. What could be more simple when you think He's our Creator, that He understands us, that He knows how to walk with us. And as we find here that he remembered Him continually in his prayers, when this crisis came up, he was prepared for it in his heart so that he could pray for him with a heart that was sincere. And I think what God really loves to hear from us and see in us is sincerity when we're praying. It is awfully easy to pray lovely words, which have lovely meaning, which leave other people impressed. Oh, my word, if I could pray like that. And I must admit, I've heard some that have left me cold. Because prayer comes from down here. You see, this was Paul. He had him on his heart. He had a problem that he wanted to help solve. He wanted to relate Onesimus with Philemon again. And that prayer was in his being. Let me just ask you something. You don't have to answer it. Not allowed anyway. Who are you praying for that causes your insides to turn upside down? I don't know how else to say it, excuse me. Who are you praying for that is almost like a burden upon you? This was Paul with Philemon. But he comes out to Philemon. Philemon, I'm going to bless you first. I'm going to pray to God to pour His grace upon you. And I'm going to pray to God that His peace will be in you. So we got this guy with this heart burden for this chappy that's lost his slave. I thank God because I hear of you a love and faith. Great Christian characteristics. Love. I put Christian qualities, really. This love is an undefeatable benevolence, an unconquerable good that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what he does. This is our God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that's awesome love. That's a love that's willing to give all that that person has, in this case God, for you and for me. Do you know, we rattle that off our tongues, and I'll be honest with you, I've got 50, oh, probably 60 years almost in the gospel, and I still haven't come to the depths of that verse. I don't think I ever will. It is so profound. God's love for us. And he says, look, you have that kind of love, Philemon. What a way to encourage a guy. What a way to lift him up. Are there people around you that you can see that show God's love in that way, that they're willing to sacrifice time, they're willing to sacrifice their energies, they're willing to sacrifice what they've got to help? This was Philemon. And when you're praying for someone, when you want them to, you're trying to help them relate to someone that's offended them, that you try to pick out the good points of that person. And Paul didn't have any problems there. He says, man, I'm blown over by your love. Do we blow people over by our love? I'm asking myself that one, okay? Okay, that's an internal one, okay? And then we come to faith, a divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, trust and reliance in God and all that he says. Do we have faith? You see, it's translated into three different ways in the Bible. For example, in the Old Testament, it means faithfulness and trustworthiness. Are we people who are faithful? Faithful to God? Are we people who are trustworthy, that honor our word? It also means in the New Testament that through faith we've received God's free gift. I don't have to work up my salvation. It's given freely. I have to receive. And then we come to a third aspect of it. It was used in a collective sense of, because Christians, we're in the faith. We are brothers and sisters here in the same faith in Christ Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. So as we come to this, he prays, and this is where these verses explode. I think this verse is probably the most difficult to unpack in the whole of this letter to Philemon. It's difficult to unpack because it deals with three words that it's very difficult to understand which it really refers to, what its true meaning is. So I tried to unpack this, and I want to share this from my heart, okay? This is something that I think that we need to learn to move in. This word, active sharing, this word sharing is a strange word. In Greek, it's koinonia. Don't worry about the Greek. I'm not teaching you Greek this morning. Okay. But it can have the idea, first of all, of partnership. And he says, I pray that you may be active in a partnership. And what does he mean? Paul prays that Philemon might realize that we're all partners together in Christ and in his church. Hey! Have we got that? Can I do that one again? Because I would love to repeat that one. Just give me permission. Yes, okay, I'll take it. Paul prays that Simon might realize that we're all partners together in Christ and in his church. We've got something anyway, you know, it's a half of one, but okay. But so that means, this is a commercial, Andrew, this is a commercial, we need to get involved in the church. This church. If you come in here, get involved here. Okay? If you're being fed here, give in to here. Okay? If you are coming to this church just on a Sunday, you have a little bit of fellowship, but you don't have a lot, do you? Get involved with the community groups. Oh, come on, Andrew, you could have said yes to that one. Yeah. Get involved with the community group. Get involved. Getting to know one another. You can't live your Christian life isolated from other Christians. And it's not enough just to have fellowship on a Sunday morning, cup of tea or coffee, whatever your preference is there, and that's it for the week. We need to get together. We need to realize we are partners together in this gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, okay, I'll carry on then. And another way to translate this word is fellowship. Paul prays that Philemon would be led into a deeper Christian fellowship with others. I'm sure that's the elder's prayers. I'm sure of that. That we might have a deeper Christian fellowship. It's not getting to know one another's business. It's getting to pray for one another. It's getting to be concerned for one another. It's getting to be there when someone else needs you. It's amazing. Whoa, I better be careful here. It's amazing that God wants us to start with. Because we're all sinners, pretty messed up. Then when he saves us, the thing that blows my mind is this, that he wants to use us. Isn't that amazing? That really is amazing, isn't it? He wants to use you and me to help others. And this is what Paul was about. I'm getting involved with you, Philemon. I'm praying that you might have fellowship with your fellow brothers there, and some of them, most of them, were probably slaves. And then thirdly, it involves the act of sharing. Paul prays for Philemon a greater generosity in sharing all that he has in the gospel. We don't do this very often here. We have little Bible studies. Great. Andrew has really been plugging that over these last few years. But we don't really have a lot of time to just share and talk about Jesus with one another. We don't. That's another plug for community group. That's the advantage of community groups. You can talk about Jesus together. Isn't that lovely? Oh, it's brilliant. Let me just throw out a question. When was the last time you really shared on a deep level about Jesus with someone in the church? Oh, right. Don't answer me that one. We didn't hear that, all right? That's cancelled. That's cancelled. No, I know what you mean, mate. Okay. We need to learn to be like Paul, to be so involved with people that we get in there with them. We're concerned for them. I pray that you might be active in sharing your faith. And Paul's prayer here, you see, Philemon was a man that was showing great love to fellow brothers and sisters. He showed great faith. He was a man of faith, I think. It must have been for Paul to recommend him like that. And yet Paul here is praying that he might have more of what he's got. Now, this is the crux of all this, these seven verses, really. Paul isn't praying for Philemon to have something that he hasn't got. He's praying for Philemon to develop those gifts, that way of Christian, his Christian walk. He's praying that God will help him develop even further in these areas in his life. That came out a bit crazy. Put it this way. He was praying that Paul would use the spiritual gifts he's got even more. He was praying that that Philemon would share his love even more to others and have greater faith. He was praying for more of God for him. That's what it's about. That's what prayer is about, is praying that others might know God in a deeper way, that others might have a reality check up with God. Oh, Philemon, he says, I want you to move into areas of your life that you've never been before with God. I want you to experiment things that you've never experienced before as you learn to live in harmony, in fellowship, in sharing, in giving what I've given you. That's what Paul wants for each one of us as well. That's what God wants for us. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, yes, God, here, I want more of you. I really, really need you right now. I really need that touch of your Holy Spirit on my life to quicken and enthuse me and to lift me up and to help me to love others more. Help me to have more faith in you and trusting in you a word. Help me to know that I need my brothers and sisters and that I will be willing to go out of my way to be a channel for you. See, this is what Paul is about here. If he was to receive Onesimus back again, the love he had was a great love. Yes, his faith was a great faith. But Paul, he's almost putting his arms around him in prayer. Oh, Philemon, have more of God to be able to do this. Receive more of God to have the strength to go on now. And that's what we need from God right now. That cry from our hearts, oh God, give me more of you. More. You know, I've mentioned this before, I'm going to repeat it again. There's more of God for us than than what we've got right now. There's more of God for us than we can ever imagine or think. It's not a point of coming saying, oh, well, I'm busy, I'm working, I'm doing this, I'm getting old, I'm going whatever. Folks, God wants to do something in our lives which is greater than he's ever done before. Hello, 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 hello. Are you sleeping? I'll stop myself. God wants to do more in your life than he's done in the past. Come on, guys, I was just going to tell you my age then, but I probably... Okay, I'm 76 and I still want more of God. Yeah, come on, there's more of God. I'm hoping to go to Chile because I want to serve God. God willing, in October, I'll be flying in that one of these aluminium tubes. Oh, look, if you've come in contact with God, you've got to go with God. And this is what Paul was praying. He wasn't praying for Philemon. Oh, God, help him, have strength. Oh, God, strengthen him and help Onesimus be a good boy now and forevermore and help the people receive him. He didn't pray any of that. He says to him, Philemon, receive more of God to be able to act like God, to be able to show God's love even more, to be able to show that you've got a faith in God, that you trust him, for goodness sake. Open your hearts to him. That was plural. That meant you lot, okay? Me as well. Oh, please. Let's not move out of here. Let's not leave here. Just going on a cup of tea and coffee, and that's it this morning. Let's let God do business with us today. Open up our hearts.